If the enemy can get us to believe that we are his worthy foe, and that if we push and pull and struggle and pray and fast long enough, we can defeat him, then he's already defeated us. Because the Word of God says that we are above him in Christ Jesus, and that he is not a worthy foe. He is a defeated foe. Mm-mm. So what is the war over? Yes, it's over lands and houses and children and seed. But I'm telling you, the enemy is more subtle. Because we're at war for something. He knows if he can keep this part crippled, the rest will fall behind. It's a war over the heart. It's a war over your heart. It's a war over your heart so that it will be fully alive unto him. We know in our minds, we know God loves us. But God wants it to penetrate into our hearts so that our hearts know it. Hebrews 8 to C, 10, 11, 13. You know, I really do apologize for yelling, but I just can't help myself. You know, Jesus, it set me free. One day I was asking, Lord, I just yell a lot when I'm with you and I'm talking about you, but I just can't help myself, and I wish I could talk quiet and be, you know, more pristine. And he said, well, darling, you know, he talks to me in those beautiful love languages. He said, even Jesus cried out with a loud voice. Amen. He didn't stand in front of the grave of Lazarus' tomb and said, Lazarus, come forth. Bible says he cried out with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. He is the king of the resurrection. He has the power over death, hell, and the grave. Now, how in the world can I talk in a quiet voice? The zeal of God's house has consumed us. He is raising up a company of believers that the zealousness of God has so consumed them that they are going into the battle in a better position, a position of heart wholeness. Jesus, oh, he's such my example. I follow him. I follow him with my heart. I follow him with my eyes, with my ears. I read about him. I sup with him. He's in me, I'm in him, we're in the Father. Jesus was in the garden, he was with his disciples, a few of them. He was sorely vexed and grieved because he knew what was facing him, the call of God, his destiny, but he was grieved because his flesh did not want to do it. He was at war. He was at war over the purposes of God for his life. What did the Bible say he did? He was in the garden and he was laying there and he cried out with a loud voice, Father! Sometimes we just need to cry out with a loud voice, Father. I need you at this moment. There was a complete book in that cry, Father. And that book was, I don't want to do this. But not my will, yours be done. I just love the Lamb. And when he was done, because he was warring. See, we war a lot of different ways. He was warring. He was warring again, battling against his emotions and his feelings. And then the Bible says after a period of warring, the Bible says he sweat blood. And it was just pouring down him. It was so intense. The Bible said after he was warring, he entered into that position where he was able. And the Lord God, in the Word of God, said angels were sent to minister to him. God doesn't leave us in the battle alone. He doesn't. No, they're angels that the Lord has sent to help us. We don't worship them, but we work with them. And let me tell you, we got to really understand war and how it comes. Daniel 10, we're going to look at this for just a second. Here's Daniel. And a revelation was given a vision. Daniel needed to know the meaning of it, so he fasted. He began to fast. Fasting is important. And if you're not doing it, you need to start. Jesus said, when the bridegroom goes, they'll pray and they'll fast. As long as the bridegroom is with them, they won't. But when they're gone, they will. Again, the Word of God says there are some things that cannot be removed or dislodged or displaced without prayer and fasting. Fasting will take demonic strongholds and push and mold and meld them into highways of the living God. Fasting will give you the power to unlock the Holy Spirit in you to conquer any defeat that tries to come present itself. Jesus fasted 40 days in the wilderness. When the enemy came against him in all three ways, the lust of the eyes, lust of the flesh, the boastful pride of life, he was able to stand and unlock that Holy Spirit in him and conquer seemingly defeat that would try to come and cause him to surrender. And when he left that place, he left with the power of the Spirit upon him, the Bible says. And he began to do great exploits for the Lord. He had unlocked the Holy Spirit in him. He had unlocked it by fasting and submitting to the Lord. So here's Daniel, and he's fasting, and he's asking God for the interpretation of this vision. For 3 weeks, he fasted. Now, I don't know about you, but if I was fasting for 3 weeks, I would begin to question that God even heard me at all. And my heart, I would begin to war with my heart, because listen, I'm going to give you guys a key. Your heart will begin to war with you saying, God didn't hear you. God doesn't love you. Look at God. He's having you hang out to dry. Look what he's doing. You can't trust him. The war begins at that moment over your heart. And what did Daniel do? He warred. He warred, he warred, he warred. You better believe those things came to his heart. You better believe those lies came. But he stood in his trust and confidence in the Lord. And the Bible says that on the 24th day, he was standing there after 3 weeks, there appeared before him a mighty visitation, a mighty warrior, a mighty angel. It was a man, what looked like a man. He was dressed in linen with a belt of the finest gold. His body was like crystallite, his face like lightning. Hey, he just came from the presence of God. Moses had to shield his face. He just come from the presence of God. His arms and legs, they gleamed like burnished bronze, and his voice like the sound of a multitude. Everyone fled. Daniel had a company around him, and the sight of that, everybody fled but Daniel. So Daniel says, here I was left alone gazing at this great vision. I wonder how Daniel was able to have the strength to stand in that moment in the presence of the Lord. How was he able to stand there? I believe fasting was a key. How was Jesus able to stand in that moment? Hmm. Oh, bless her heart, Lord. Bless her, Lord God. And the angel came. Daniel fell, touched him, brought him up, set him up, trembling on his hands and knees. And he said, Daniel, you are highly esteemed and favored, for I've come to give you the answer to your vision, to your prayer that you sought after. Daniel, from the first day that you set your mind to gain understanding and to humble yourself before your God, your words were heard. From the first day, the very first word that was uttered out of Daniel's mouth, it was heard by the Father. But the prince of the Persian kingdom resisted me 21 days. Principalities, powers, rulers of the darkness, wicked spirits. There was one of those guys up there that was resisting the answer and was battling with this angel of God who'd been in the presence, a mighty warrior, Gabriel himself, battling with him to keep him from bringing the answer to Daniel. And this is what he said. Then Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me. The mighty archangel Michael. Mighty. He came because of one man's cry for an answer from God. I'm telling you guys, the angels of God, God so loves us that he will battle through the heavenly realms and send his mightiest angel of all to bring you the answer that you need. Amen. To bring you what you need. You are his beloved. There's a war. There is a war. I believe right now, in this dispensation of time, that the Lord is raising up a company of people who are going and in the process of getting completely heart healed, completely whole in their whole being, their spirit by being born again, their heart because of the issues of life that have come, their health, their bodies, that God is raising up a company of people who are so whole that they're going to step into some valiant and courageous places of battle that only the valiant can go. First Samuel 10:26. Hallelujah. Talks about Saul. In 26, Saul also went to his home in Gibeah, I don't know how to pronounce it, maybe Karen knows. But he was accompanied by valiant men whose hearts God had touched. Our hearts must be touched and be made whole, and that will propel us into a place of being valiant for God. You know, valiant, when I look at that word, it just means boldly courageous. Brave and stout-hearted. Resolute. The ability to go face to face. Courageous endurance. Enabling a person to engage or experience warfare. We see the story of David's mighty men. We see those valiant warriors. They didn't quite fit the mold of the day of the king's men. They weren't in the king's chamber eating the king's riches, eating his food. They didn't fit the mold of the times. They were on the lam. And they went to a cave. Adullam, I guess that's what it's called. I can't pronounce it. And in that cave, David and his mighty warriors come together. They weren't that yet. They were just a bunch of people coming together, not knowing what to do with all their strengths because they were the outcast and the exiled. They just began to come together and start a foundational work through relationship. Out of those 400, 400, 600 that were in that cave that day, there rose up within that company 30, and then the Bible even talks about 39. They were called David's mighty men. They were an army within an army. Gideon. We know what happened with Gideon. He had thousands and thousands of troops getting ready to go into battle. But God said, it's too many. And I've got to whittle them down. Don't you just love what God did with Gideon? He came to Gideon. Gideon had a bad self-image. He did. And I'll prove it to you by scripture. Go to Judges 6:12. I'm telling you, the Lord will deal with that place in us first so that we can walk in all the valiancy. And if you don't want to turn down there, that's fine. I'll just read it. The angel of the Lord appeared to Gideon, and he said, the Lord is with you, mighty warrior. Here's Gideon. I know what he was thinking. He got the wrong guy. What? Me? I just see me look at him going. Go down to 15, because this is what he said. How can that be, or how can I do what you call me to do, because my clan is the weakest in Manasseh, and I'm the least of my whole family. Even before he had done one mighty, valiant, brave thing, the Lord God looks at him and said, valiant warrior. He was addressing that heart condition of him and the moment, at that moment. I love God. He gets right to the heart of the matter. He speaks truth as he sees it. Because he wants to bust out all the lies that hearts have received that never were intended, never came from him. Never. So guess what Gideon did? And this is what I love. Gideon still, so he gets the word, he gets a charge from the Lord. And then he asks God. Because see, his heart, he's still warring for the purpose of God in his life. And so he asks God, can I have a sign? Now this is what God didn't say, Gideon, you unbelieving and perverse son, ye of little faith. You know what God did for Gideon? Because he knew the issue was Gideon's heart. Gideon's heart. He grew up believing he was the least. He grew up being the least. The clan of Manasseh, and everyone who's followed that knows about Manasseh. And if not, you should read about it. It will give you more of appreciation for what God did with Gideon. And so you know what God said? He says, I'll give you your sign. Because he knew that what would happen is when he kept dealing and getting that part of his heart to a place of wholeness, that Gideon would be empowered to go with the charge that he was given. And it was a big charge because he told him, you go and you bring down the idols of the fathers, the Baal. You go and do it. Bring them down. Tear them down. Tear down the idols. Go into the house and just tear them down. Now that meant that Gideon was going to have to go into his father's place of understanding God and worship and bringing all the idols. And he had to tear down what the fathers, his father, had constructed before him. So So we know the story when Gideon's going through the whole process. Like I said, he had thousands of warriors with him. The Lord kept dwindling it down until it got to a company that everybody knew, including Gideon, that it was because the Lord was with them that they were victorious. Hallelujah. There's one thing that I want that the Lord told me that we need to do before we end today, but it's not ready yet, because we need to talk a little bit. We've got a lot of gifts in this body, and there's a lot of powerful ways that God has given us to equip and to build up one another. And so I believe the Holy Spirit just wants to use all the gifts. You know, I think if we just use one gift or eat one thing all the time, we're going to get sick. So what I want to do is I've asked a couple different people. I'm going to have them come up to talk about a specific part when it comes to the message. And one part of that is the love of the Father and receiving His love. And I've asked Ruth to come and to share about the love of the Father. Because listen, if our hearts aren't in a position to know, to have received God's love, we won't be able to give it. We won't be able to be valiant and be brave, because we won't be able to battle and war in our heart, because we will have doubts. But the doubt is just basically, does God really love me, and is He really for me? Ruth, would you mind just coming and just, can we use this for a second, Zach? You want to come up here?
First John 4. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. He who does not love does not know God, for God is love. In this, the love of God was manifested toward us, that God has sent His only begotten Son into the world, that we might live through Him. In this is love, not that we loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. God is love, and God loves us. He loves me, He loves you, He loves each one of us. He loved us so much that even before we were born, even before we were a little apple in our daddy's eye, He loved us because we were the apple of His eye. And He loved us so much that He gave His Son to die. What parent here would be willing to sacrifice that their child? He loved us so much that His Son. You know, love is a splendored thing. I think that's a line even in a movie. Its facets are ever growing, ever changing. The light catches hold and we see something new in it. God is love. Before the team left for Haiti, the Lord gave a word about loving Him and loving one another in a net, and the fibers of that net being His love. And how as we draw near to Him and love Him, how that net tightens. And as that net tightens, we catch more. If we got loose fibers, things can fall through. But as we love the Lord and we encounter His love, those fibers in our heart tighten. And that net becomes a tight knit for his purpose, and it can be cast wide, and it can gather in all the souls, all the hearts. I really believe the Lord has spoken to me, his desire for me to go to the heart of the matter. I think each one of us in the body have different giftings, as the word says. We all have different giftings. The eye cannot say to the foot, you're not of use, I'm more important. Without the eye, the foot doesn't see where to go. The eye can see where to go, but without the foot, it can't get there. So each part of the body is important. We all have our purpose. And I know my heart's desire is to go to the heart of the matter. And I know that the heart of the matter is love. When it all boils down, when it's all sifted down, it comes down to love. And it's an encounter with love. It's an encounter with the living God who has created you, who knows your DNA, everything about you. There's nothing unknown to him. There's no hope, no dream, no hurt, no wound, nothing that is not known. Something that we even might think is a deformity. And why, God, did you do that? He has purpose in that. Because it's for his glory, because he loves us. And he loved us first. And we have to let that love saturate us. It has to be at our very most cellular level. That love has to saturate. We have to receive that love. So many of us, it's so easy to give it. We can serve till the cows come home and the sun goes down. And we can get back up the next morning and we can serve again. Because we're supposed to, and we love the body, and we love one another, and we want to do that. But can we receive God's love? Can we allow other parts of the body to minister that love to us? Because honestly, if we can't, it's pride. And we know God is against the proud. So even in doing good, even in being his hands, his feet, his eyes, his ears, his nose, his pancreas, whatever we're called to be. Pancreas gives sugar, sweetness, okay? Whatever we're called to be in his body, if we resist receiving his love, we have pride in our heart. We're resisting him because we've got to know his love for us individually. We can know it in our head, but man, if we don't know the heart of the matter, and the heart of the matter is that God is love, and he loves me. I'm his daughter. I'm his favored one. I'm his beloved, and he desires an intimate, passionate, all-consuming relationship with me, because I'm a part of his bride and he is coming to get me, and I am spending eternity worshiping at his feet and loving him as my Lord and Savior. That is what I am called to. It is what we are called to in this place, to be lovers. Lovers of the living God. And I need to have a revelation of his love for me so that I can love him more. So I exhort you, I encourage you, I say, come to the feast and just sit and be and let him love you, because he loves you. He loves you.
First John 4, 7 through 19. I love the Gospels of John. Talks about, okay, first I have to explain something to you. Is that the Lord, when we went to the women's conference last in April, the Lord had really imparted unto me a warring mantle. I don't quite operate and function the same way that I used to because it's just a gifting that the Lord placed on me. Now, I know when I start talking about war and fighting that all you guys are like, ugh. I could just see you like these horses pawing the ground and the smoke coming out of your nostrils because you guys can relate. Men can relate to war and getting in there and getting physical. Am I right?
That's right.
Okay. But guess what God wants y'all to do? He also wants you to learn how to be the bride. Amen? It's kind of hard for the spirit in the male, you know, fashion in the body to understand what that means to be a bride because you're always the groom. You know what I mean? In the natural. So see what God, so I'm encouraging you guys, if I can be a warrior, you can be a bride. Amen? Amen. Love is born of God. So if love is born of God, then I have to have my pipeline completely open and receive His love. See, I can't give something that I haven't first received. And sometimes, honestly, I've had this question asked to me just recently in the last few days. How do I do that? You do it moment by moment. You do it choice by choice. Since love is born of God, and we know that that's our connection, God desires to love us. He loves us into the place that He has called us to. We can be born again, but we cannot have the revelation of God's love for us still. And in places of our heart can still be resisting that. We can do good things for God in the house. We can do ministry for God in the house. We can feed the poor. We can clothe the naked. But if we don't have love, the Bible says we don't have anything. If we don't have, you know what I mean? Where there's faith, hope, and love, the greatest of those is love. Bible says love never fails. Love is what never fails. The love of God never, ever, ever fails. Bible says in Galatians 5:6, the only thing that counts is faith expressing itself through love. In other words, faith works by love. Another key that I have learned is I was raised and brought up in a house where they taught you how to activate your faith and how to work your faith and some ways to do all that. But you know what? Most of the time, it never worked. Because the key to walking in great faith is great love. If we don't have great love, we're not going to have great faith, and we're not going to enter into all of those places that God has for us without that. So I'm just going to tell you, this is just a little jewel of what I've learned for myself personally. If we're really struggling trusting God, if we're struggling hearing God or believing what God says about us, if we're struggling even in just the natural realm, the natural places where everyone struggles, relationships, money, jobs, all those things, and we're struggling with that, we're struggling with trusting God, it's not your faith. I'm just going to release y'all right now from that lie of the devil. It is not your faith. Because Jesus said, I've given you the measure of faith. All it takes is a tiny little mustard seed of it. And He already deposited that in us. So that means that there's a key of something else that's going on, and that's love. Because I promise, because I have the Word of God on it, that if we receive the love of the Father and our heart has completely loved Him to where we've allowed Him in every part of our heart, and we're going to learn how to do that, not today, but there are areas of our heart that for reasons, for woundings and all things that we kind of keep hidden and guarded and protected. But as we've learned to open up every area of our heart to Him and we accept His love in every avenue, then I turn and I'm able to love in return. My heart doesn't condemn me. I'm confident God's greater than my heart. And then I'm able to war for somebody else's heart. And all the things, I'm just going to be stepping into them. The Bible says it. In Matthew, it says it. As we seek first the kingdom of God, God, his heart, his ways, everything else is going to be added to us. I believe God is going to get his people into the place that we're not spending our time asking him for just the natural things that he knows we need. But we are going to be spending our time fighting and warring for other people's hearts and their places in the kingdom. I love Zephaniah 3, and some of you guys could quote it. God himself takes great delight in you. He will quiet you with his love. He rejoices over you with singing. Proverbs 4:23, guard your heart, for it is the wellspring of life. Amen. We got to guard our heart. Kim, would you mind coming and just sharing about some things that the enemy does to try and lie to our heart and keep our heart at a vulnerable place?
If I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, and I do not have love, I have become a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. You might say, what's that got to do with lies of the enemy? Well, let me tell you. If I don't have love in my heart, if I'm not receiving the Father's love, I'm not loving you. But what's the enemy's greatest ploy in that? Is to come to me and to subtly speak lies to my heart.
That's right.
Because what's going to steal my love? If I don't think you don't love me, if I don't think God loves me, if I still walk in a struggle of listening, of have you ever just had, I'll just get real simple here, have you ever just, you meet somebody and you're like, man, they irritate me. Or this is how I feel when I'm with this person. Or this person, when they look at me like that, I don't like them. Or I don't like their attitude. I'm telling you, it's the devil at his core, subtly coming in, making us think that
That's
it's
right.
each of us.
That's right.
That it's our flesh. That I have the right to not like someone? God forbid. For real, God forbid. We have grown up in that in our society. That I have the right to disapprove of you? God never disapproves of us. He disapproves of maybe our actions or our sin, but never of each one of us. He loves us. Well, the enemy comes to steal, kill, and destroy. Is that right? He comes truly within our hearts to speak lies about the other one. And that's the truth. That brings division in our hearts, in relationships. Mm-hmm. It causes dissension in our families. Mm-hmm. It causes dissension in our relationships with people in our body, people in our neighborhood, people in our workplace. Have you ever noticed that? There's always a place of division. Mm-hmm. And what that is the enemy making us, causing us, we're believing the lie, and we're struggling against the flesh and blood. We're fighting against one another. Mm-hmm. We're criticizing one another in our hearts. We might not treat one another bad. Mm-hmm. We might not do it openly, but in our heart, if we're cursing one another, to curse one another is just not to speak blessing over you. Mm-hmm. I'm cursing you. So, I mean, I'm saying I, just so you can see, I mean, I do this. I mean, I am guilty as all guilty. Or the enemy can come in and incite our heart against our spouses by looking at one another's weaknesses. And, you know, I found myself, in fact, I'll just be really transparent here recently with, I was just in a bad mood every day. I was just mad. I couldn't figure out what I'm mad about. Well, I had been listening to lies. Didn't even realize it because so subtly of being caught up in a circumstance or in my own life or my own problems or things around me They'll distract us from the truth. Uh-huh, and they'll distract us from receiving God's love.
Mm-hmm.
Because if we're not receiving His love first, we cannot love one another.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
I mean, that's for real. It sounds like, okay, oh yeah, this is all about love. It really is.
Mm-hmm.
Because
it is.
If I don't love you, I need to do a heart check. If I don't care about your well-being, I need to check me, not you.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah.
And that would be the enemy's plan. What does he do between spouses? Speaks lies to one another's heart about the other one.
Right.
The truth. If he can come in and cause, because we married one another, let's just talk about marriage from what we did marry one another, so mm-hmm. there was something there that we loved one another. And yes, iron does sharpen iron, but the enemy does come in mm-hmm. to bring division and to keep us from loving one another
mm-hmm.
and loving one another from a pure heart.
Mm-hmm.
So I would just encourage you to think about what you're thinking about. You know, in your relationships, towards yourself, how the enemy can even make you always see your own weaknesses. He'll always be faithful mm-hmm. to point out your weaknesses.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're looking at your weaknesses, yes, the Lord speaks to our heart about sin or areas that, you know, he would like to mature us in, like Renee said about mm-hmm. things being dead.
Mm-hmm.
He wants to bring that resurrection life to our heart, of course, absolutely, so that it's not us that lives, but Christ that lives in us. So I would just encourage you, that'd be my encouragement of the word, is how the enemy comes to subtly lie
mm-hmm.
and steal, kill, and destroy to your own heart. And what'll happen, I asked the Lord, I said, what is going on with my heart? It feels hard.
Mm-hmm.
He said, you're offended. I'm like, well, ain't nobody done anything to me. Why would I be offended? He said, you've been listening to the lie of the enemy.
That's right. Yeah.
How did I get offended? I listened to the lie of the enemy.
Mm-hmm.
Because I might not have agreed with somebody. I might not have liked what they did. Somebody might have got my feelings hurt and just dwelled on it and not even realize you're dwelling on it. So I would just encourage each one of us to continually guard our heart, as she said, for out of it flows the wellspring of life. So mm-hmm. because if we get offended, you guys, we all really should know the meaning of that word. It's scandalized. You've mm-hmm. scandalized me. Back in the day, years ago when we were kids, they'd say, I'm scandalized by your behavior.
Mm-hmm.
It means offended. It means I took the bait in the trap and I'm the one in the cage. Pretty scary, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
So let's not be there. Let's not live in the box. Let's come out of our box,
mm-hmm.
you know, and help prevent our brother and our sisters from going back in the box. And just love one another. So anyway.
Amen. Amen. That's good. That's really, quote that probably, right? Now, yes? Okay. John 10:10. I'm going to look at that for a second. When Kim was talking about I love her. She's a mighty warrior for the living God already. 10:10. The thief comes only to steal, to kill, and to destroy. But I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. So here's two edges of the spectrum. Jesus has come to give us fullness of life. The enemy comes to steal, kill, and destroy. One of his main ways to do that is lies. Bible says he is the father of all lies, and in him is no truth. So if there's something that comes to us that is contrary to what God says about us, or contrary to how God says we are to live or how to love, then we know immediately where that's come from. Amen. We have the opportunity. I'm going to share a couple stories. You know, I love Jesus because he taught us how to even to minister to one another. He didn't always take the word, the Torah, and open it up and read it to everyone, and that's how he communicated.
He communicated in stories and parables, because sometimes when we just read something, I have a hard time, like, for learning just to read, because I don't learn that way just from reading. I learn better if someone talks and they show me and they break it down for me. I learn better that way. So when Jesus did parables, what he was trying to connect up with is with our heart. Because if he just wanted to give us facts, if we could just learn by facts and not get into that relational aspect of the heart, then he just would have read the Torah, because that was the word, and he would explain things. But he always went into talking about the seeds and harvest and farmers and lands and landowners. You know what I'm saying? And so there's a couple stories I'm going to share with you, because I think that they might impart some different things to where your heart might catch some things even more than if I just continue to quote truth to you, even though it would be truth. This last week, two things happened that the Lord really showed me that we have to be healthy to war. And so he's kind of given us some ways that today, this morning, about where our health comes from. It comes from a whole heart, and it comes from accepting his love. So those two things I believe are key in our walk, is receiving the love of the Father and having a whole heart. Those two things are key to us to be able to war for each other's heart, to be able to step into the places God has for us fully and completely, valiantly. 2 weeks ago, maybe not even that long, I had somebody call me, and they said, "Renee, I'm dying. Please help me." And they began to share a little bit, and they couldn't even talk to me because they were on a road trip with family. But they were texting me because they were in a car. And they said, "I am dying." The enemy had come upon them to oppress them so mightily and so difficultly, they couldn't breathe. They barely could put their thumbs on their phone to text, "I'm dying. I need you." What completely humbled my heart, that if I was not in a position of heart health and knowing that God loved me, I would not have thought that I could have helped them, because I'm still struggling with own areas of my heart. But this is what happens when our hearts are ready to get the full battle cry of the Lord for one another. Guess what happens? That's right. I love her. You can come up, girl. I don't have a problem with that. Hey, Jesus was ministering. He was ministering to 7,000 people. Bible said he fed them from a miracle with the loaves and the fishes. But who else was with him that day? He didn't say, "Go put the children over there so they'll be quiet, and then women over there." They were all intermingled. Because her little spirit, her ears can hear, and she knows she beheld the angels of the Lord. So I don't have a problem with that at all. I just wanted to throw that out there. I love children being in the midst. So she said, "Renee, help me." So what happened in my heart, there rose up a battle cry, and that battle cry was, "No!" So I called. They didn't answer. I knew they couldn't. So I began, I prayed and I legislated the word of God over her, the healing of God, the authority. I took over the demonic forces that would come. I tell you, but you have to receive the love of the Father, because it is not pride. It is not, but it is a zealousness for someone's heart, knowing that you have been empowered and equipped to be able to go into a land and to rescue a heart from a kingdom that it doesn't belong to. And as I began to legislate that, I couldn't get her. I left it on there. I hung up. I texted her. I know she could read. I said, "Now put the phone up to your ear." She called me later when she got landline, and she said, "Renee, when I put the phone to my ear, I felt the demonic authorities and principalities break over me, and I began to breathe." We were called for such a time as this. The gates of hell will not prevail against the church. They are on the defense, but we are on the offense. We go in and we push back the gates. 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 Back the few days ago, got another call. I can't do this anymore. I can't take it. Different person. I'm done. I said, oh no. You can come. You want to come? Do you want to come? I got an empty house. Do you want to come? Get on my hotline. Valiant warriors of the Most High, can you join me? We've got some battling, some warring to do over a heart. My valiant warriors dropped everything they were doing, and they came. We began to battle in war for somebody. And it looked different. I mean, there's all kinds of things. You know, I'll tell you, the way God wars is amazing, guys. It's not all about yelling and stomping around and doing all that, although, believe me, I do my fair share. But it's about hearing what God says, because he knows where our heart is and where the strongholds are, and then doing those things that he says. And then what happens is it continues to bring freedom, 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 and empowering. And there's a lot of stuff that occurred over those few days. But that person is not in the same place now as when they made the call. You know, I just have to tell you, when we first became a church, we really didn't use flags and banners. You know that, Zach. We didn't do that. But the Lord began to open our eyes. Seth, do you have that overhead about the banners? If you guys were here on Sunday night, I talked about this a little bit. But there might be questions. And Psalm, can you put on Psalms 25, Jeremiah 52? I can just read them. It's all right. I can just read them. Psalms 25. This is why we do banners, and this is why we do flags. Because some of your hearts need to hear this, because you've had a problem with it. The Lord just reminded me. Psalms 25 says, we will shout for joy when you are victorious, and we will lift up our banners in the name of the Lord. Now, this is something they really did. So we lift our banners, and we lift our flags, and we fly them. Yeah, leave that up there. That's good. Because we are celebrating the victory of God. We are the joyful assembly, and we are celebrating him, and we want all the enemies of our God to see it, that we know our Jesus was victorious. We are making a public display. See, Jesus already did that. He made a public display of them. He made a show of them openly, and now we continually, demonstrate that with our actions and our words. Jeremiah 52 says, announce and proclaim among the nations, lift up a banner and proclaim it, keep nothing back, but say God's enemies are defeated. So we do our flags and our banners, but we're saying God's enemies are defeated, Jesus is victorious, we lift it up in the name of the Lord, hallelujah. Here's some points of what the flags and banners can do. We're just going to talk about real briefly. We glorify God. We show victories won. We bestow honor to Jesus. We unify the company. Tell people who we represent. Herald an event. Signal or attract attention to an event. Rally the troops to war. Expression of confidence. So that's why we do flags. We have scripture for it. We're doing it, and we're not stopping it. We want all that God has. The last thing that I want to do, there's more stuff, but you know, I just want to flow, but this is important that we do. The Lord gave me a specific word for today, a prophetic word. As I was meditating, if you'll turn to Ezekiel 8:8, because we're going to end with this, because we're going to legislate what God has said. You know, Pastor Joe has been teaching us about the ecclesia. The ecclesia, which is the church, but the real word for church is ecclesia, which is the definition of is the governing body, which legislates God's purposes, intent, and heart to the earth. Yesterday, when I was meditating with the Lord and worshiping and praying, he reminded me of what today was. Today is 8-8. Number 8 is a number of new beginnings. So the Lord began to speak to me that there's something new that he wants to do, and that he's starting to today, and it's going to happen. He told me, turn to Ezekiel 8:8. And he said to me, son of man, daughter of man, child of God, fill it in. Now dig into the wall. And I looked at that word wall. And one of the definitions I found, which amazed me, when you think of wall, you think of something hard, something tangible. But when I looked it up, one of the definitions is immaterial or intangible barrier or obstruction. That means there's an obstruction there, but it's not tangible. It's immaterial, which is the opposite of material. It's not seen with the human eye. And I love this one because I knew what he was saying. We're going to get to it. We're going to legislate it. A wall, another definition, it is a rampart that's raised for defensive purposes. So we know the enemy of our God raises up walls because he's trying to defend his kingdom. But the Lord says, now dig into the wall. So dig in, go in, push in to that intangible, immaterial place and see there's a doorway there. And you go on to read this in Ezekiel, as Ezekiel looked into that doorway and he opened up the doorway, he was looking right into the enemy's camp. He was looking right into the dark places of the kingdom and he was seeing what forces were at work. And the Lord began to speak to me and said, Renee, I'm raising up a company that has access into, in this new season, this new time, into this place of the devil's encampment, because we're going to war. And so today I want you to legislate, daughter, that this is a new season and a new time, a new horizon and a new place, that we're having new sight, new ears, and new weapons. So what I'm going to do is we're going to just legislate that, and I'm going to encourage you that you speak with your heart, you receive it, because this is for the whole body, not just our body, but it's happening in all other bodies too. So, Father God, in Jesus' name, as the ecclesia, as the governing body that you have called into the earth to legislate your plan, we say to you, we agree with you, and that today, being today, a demonstration of number 8, which is a time of new beginnings, we say that we will enter into the place, we will enter into the immaterial, to the untangible places, and we will break through, and we will open the doors, we see it there, and we see with our eyes the plan and the wicked schemes of the enemy, and that we bring the kingdom into that place, and we bring the authority of Jesus Christ into those realms as we begin to walk in the tangible authority of the risen God. And we say, Father God, right now in Jesus' name, we command that over this people and over the people of the church. And we say, from this moment forward, we will not see the way we have seen before. We will not war the way we have warned before. But we will step into the new season and the new time and the new authority realm in the Spirit. And the Lord reminded me, Renee, 5 months ago, I was called to be a part of a grand jury over Jackson County. 5 months ago. There are 12 people in all of Jackson County for 6 months. They're on a grand jury that are the ninja of the court system. They see things and know things that no one else knows that we can't talk about. But listen, the Lord says, daughter, this is a sign of what I'm doing in the church. I'm giving new authority to the church, and I have to take you into some new authority realms because in the Spirit, I need you to go in some different places. He's going to begin to start placing you in authority places and authority structures because he has to give you governing authority in those realms so you can take your position in those to begin to legislate his plan and purpose and take your authority over those principalities. And so every day when I go down from my legislative duty in the natural, he begins to tell me the words to legislate in the Spirit as my feet touch the land of the courthouses and the justice systems. He's given me a new realm of authority. He's going to start opening those authority realms into each of your lives. So be ready. Be ready, be ready, be ready. The last time I was there, the judge appoints. There are hierarchies, believe me, there are hierarchies of demonic principalities and powers. And there are heavenly places that the Lord has seated us with Jesus Christ in the heavenly realms to take authority over those hierarchies, but we have to understand how it works. In the natural, what we see many times in the military, the way things are structured in governments and then report and authority, those are all pictures of the kingdom of God in the spirit realm because they come from the spirit realm. The last time I was there, the judge had appointed within that, there's always a foreman and a co-foreman. He appoints them. We flow together. They're the ones that sign their name on the document. And it becomes law. We're making law and judicial decrees, and their signatures are going forth. On Friday, neither one of those people were there. We had alternates there. There were 12 of us, but our two leaders weren't there. So they turned to me. Now, this is the Lord. And they said, you are the foreman for today. The Lord God says, ha. Huh. Now, I want you to listen. My name was signed on judicial documents. He was positioning me into a higher level of being able to take authority and speak into realms where before I had no authority. And he sealed it. He had to seal it. See, God has a way of doing it by making sure my name was on a legal document. We're going to see his glory in this area like we have never even imagined. So be ready. See, this is kingdom living. Kingdom living is him taking us and placing us into those places where we can birth his plan and purpose. So begin to expect it. I challenge you to begin to expect it. Embrace it. And if you know that there's a stoppage in your heart to where it's having a hard time receiving the love of God, and you need some help warring for your heart, please grab someone around you that would say, you know what, let's war. Let's do this thing. And matter of fact, we're getting ready to leave. I didn't realize it was so late. But I'm going to have, Zach, if you don't mind, if you would just sing a song, just be led, whatever. I'm just going to be up here. And if there's somebody that would really like some prayer, like if you sense that that you just seem to keep, you know, getting to this place and you can't get any further from it, I'm going to tell you it has something to do with your heart, not your action. Your heart needs to be.